Good morning. We would like to welcome you all to Rochdale Baptist Church, and we thank you for joining us this morning as we worship the Lord and look forward to hearing from His Word. We're grateful to the Lord for making this means of communication possible, and we hope that everyone will be encouraged as you're able to listen in and take part in this worship service this morning. To begin, we will be singing two songs, and we encourage you to gather your families together and join with us. For our first song, we will be singing the first verse of a very well-known hymn, Amazing Grace. It's encouraging to know that we serve a God that is worthy of our trust. There are times in all of our lives that we fail to be faithful to God as we should, but He promises to always be faithful to us. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So for our second song this morning, please join me as we sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Aren't you thankful for His faithfulness this morning? I know it's not the same as being together in person, but being able to sing these songs and listen to the preaching of God's Word with you all makes me feel like we are together, separated but not divided. We all have one spirit and can worship God together in spirit and in truth. I pray this morning's message will be an encouragement to you as it has been to me. Thank you all for listening, and God bless.
Good morning. This is a unique way for us to come together and fellowship and hear the reading and preaching of God's Word, though this morning we are not together physically. There is something that God does with His body of believers that can still bring us together in spirit. And we can still worship Him together. And so as this morning approached and as we realized that there was a really good possibility that there would be a lot of snow and there was a possibility that our morning services would be canceled and we would have to find some other avenue to present the message that God has laid on our hearts and also give opportunity for us to, in some way, some fashion, come together and worship. It is, as usual, not peculiar to me that the morning that I am to preach on Romans 4 and Romans 5, which is about the members of the body, it would snow the capacity in which it has. And so it is a unique thing for me to do a voice recording in such a way of where I'm alone. I don't have you all here with me. I am presenting God's word in such a way that actually is also unique to the way that I typically present, which is I am a preacher. I preach. That is the way God has gifted me. It is what I do. And for me to sit here in a study and present God's word and what God has laid on my heart as teaching is very unique to me. But I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for an opportunity every time to be able to share God's word and to be able to share it with you all. I know, just as we have gone through these texts the last few weeks, how important and pivotal these verses are in the life of our church. And you may not see it in such a way, but I look at the circumstances, even for this morning, and I look at it as an opportunity that, you know, even though we're not together as a body, even though we're not coming together as an ecclesia, as the body of Christ, as the church comes together, we're not sitting in our church home at Rochdale Baptist Church, but we are coming together corporately in the comfort of our own homes. But it is because of these verses in Romans 12, 4 and 5 that we are members. We are a part of the body of Christ. And that no matter where we go, no matter where God takes us, no matter if we're sick or ailed or if weather or whatever happens, that even though we might not be able to come together at Rochdale Baptist Church, you are still a member of the body of Christ. And what a blessing that is. And as we get into the scripture, I hope my prayer is that God would help us to understand fuller and deeper these verses, that we would understand just how important you would understand just how important you are, not only to the body of Christ and what God has given to you and the way he's gifted you and created you, but also just how important you are to Rochdale Baptist Church, just how important you are to me and Sister Chelsea. And I know many of you could remark in very similar ways to each other, that you are extremely important in the life of the church at Rochdale Baptist Church. We'll get into this text and we'll pray, and then I'll share what it is that God has for us. Romans 12, let's start in verse 3 again. If you were not here last Sunday evening, you missed the end of this scripture, which is the measure of faith that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. But I want to pick up on some of that before we do get into verses 4 and 5. So we'll start again in verse number 3. Romans 12, 3. The Bible says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we, having many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Let's pray together. Father, I know this is much different than it's really ever been, except for a few years ago. But Lord, we have technology, we have witty inventions that we can still come together and still hear your word, that Lord, that we can be encouraged by it. So Father, I pray for your help, that as we do get into your word, and as even though we may be separate in our own homes, I pray that your word would do what it's always done. Lord, that you would encourage the brethren, that you would help them to see their importance. Lord, that you save them for a reason, but after salvation, you place them into the body. that they are a member of the body of Christ. What a blessing that is. What a blessing they can be even to one another. That if they would understand this and grasp this, what it is that you've done by placing them in to the body. Lord, I pray for your help. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title for the message this morning is One Body in Christ. One Body in Christ. But like I said, let's back up and go to the end of chapter 12, verse number 3, because I believe this is a very important place to springboard into these next two verses, because this shows us something. Last week, we discussed the grace of God and the grace that Paul says was given to him. And he then admonishes the body not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. The reason being is because of the grace of God that we all start at the same place and we all start at Jesus. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We understand that. So Paul, he's already established some of the groundwork. He's done the hard work in verse number 3. He's taken and shown us that it's not because of us, that we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly, because God's the one that has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So what does he do? Ultimately, he cuts down pride. He corrects this distorted self-perception or this distorted self-awareness. And then he takes all of that and he anchors our identity back in Christ and in the grace of God. That God is the one that distributes faith. And ultimately, God will be the one that distributes gifts in the body. That's why these portions of Scripture are so important before we get into the gifts that God gives to the body. Because we need to be anchored into our identity in Christ. Because if we're not careful, once we take and have a view of the gifts of God and pride steps in, there is often a personal or self-ambition that becomes attached to that gifting. Rather than using the gifts that God has given us to further the kingdom, to encourage the body. So we need to understand first that in verse number 3, Paul starts to just whittle away and whittle away at some of these very difficult things before he then can get into some deeper truths about our giftings. And we see that because Paul says that it's according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. This phrase, it settles something essential in our life, and it should. What this shows us is that God is ultimately the source. He is the source of faith. He is first the source of grace. He was the source of mercy. He is the source of our salvation. But then he's also the source of our faith after salvation. Once again, if you weren't here on Sunday evening, this measure of faith, it isn't talking about the faith to believe to salvation. That's not what this means. There isn't a measure of salvation. It isn't some have more salvation, some have less salvation. That's not what this verse means. This verse is speaking, obviously, because we know this chapter is speaking to the brethren. This verse is speaking to the brethren. And Paul shows us that there is going to be a measure of faith, and there's a reason why. So first, we must understand that God is the source of that faith. Also, God is the one that establishes the order the standard within the body based off of those measures of faith. And that God is also sovereign in the way that he distributes faith within the body. So what does this show us? It shows us that you and I are not the one that distributes these things. So that means that these things aren't accidental. They're not happenstance. God hasn't made a mistake in the body whenever he distributes gifts, whenever he distributes measures of faith within the body. He did not make a mistake. We need to understand that if God measures faith, then God is the one that is ultimately the distributor of faith. The problem is if we're not careful, we'll start to have some of these unnecessary questions, because we look at this portion of scripture, and for many, this may be confusing. Being honest with you, for many, this might be the first time you've even considered what this verse is saying. So you start to pose questions because of that. So why did God not give the same measure of faith to everyone? Or why didn't he give an equal ability to everyone, or equal confidence to everyone, or an equal function to everyone in the body of Christ? Why is there even a difference at all? It doesn't make sense unless you look at this in light of the next two verses. So Paul, he addresses that immediately. And he addresses that with the function then of the body. So he's explaining then why God gives measures of faith. Now again, what do I mean of measure? I'm meaning that we're going to have new converts, Lord willing, in the body. We're going to have those that have been saved, that have known the Lord and walked with the Lord for most of their life, much of their life, for decades. There's going to be a balance of new believers, older believers, seasoned believers, those that are struggling and waning in their faith, those that are strong and strengthened in their faith. There's going to be a mixture of those measures of faith within our body. Don't you see that? So you can look out at our body, not critically, but you can see exactly what the scripture is saying, that there are going to be a mixture of faith in the body, different measures. Because then we understand verse number 4. We start to get a deeper, fuller understanding of why God calls, why Paul calls the church a body. In verse number 4, he says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." That word "for" is a springboard from the end of verse number 3. That word "for" matters here. Paul's saying, here is why God measured faith differently. This is the reason why. Different measures of faith exist because there's different offices within the body. We see that. All members have not the same body. A uniform faith would destroy the body. If everybody was alike, the body would not function the way that it should. And we can see this even in our marriages, for those of us that are married. You didn't marry the same person. Whenever I was younger, my thought was, I'm going to marry somebody just like me. That way we can go out, we can have fun together, we can That's not what happened. And I love Miss Chelsea, and I love the way that God has created her. But if I'm being honest with you, Miss Chelsea and I are almost completely opposite outside of our desire to follow Christ. Almost everything else is complete opposite, except for the very important central things in our marriage, in our faith, and the way we render children. Miss Chelsea loves books. I love movies. She would rather go sit on a beach in front of water somewhere, which that's not a bad thing. I would like to go watch a football game. There's many of those that I could tell you back and forth. Because if we were the same, we would probably be at each other's throats all the time. And we see that. Many people that are the same are often at contention one with another. But a diversity in faith within the body actually makes the body functional. So God, if we look at this scripture in light of what God has done, he didn't just distribute faith randomly. There's structure to this. There's order to this. God didn't make mistakes in bringing you and I together into a function of the body. And that's something that you need to understand. With this word office does mean the office of the pastor, the office of the deacon. There are many offices within the body, within the church, but this also means function. It's not necessarily status within the church. It's the function of the members of the body within the church. There are many members. Paul's not talking about rank or a hierarchy here, or talking about some platform that one of us or all of us or some of us hold. This office that he's speaking of is what the members of the body exist to do. So if I were to look at my hand and then look at my foot, my hand doesn't envy what my foot does because my hand does something completely different than my foot. My eye doesn't resent my ear. They do completely different things. They're made completely different for completely different functions within my body. The heart, it's unseen. The brain is unseen. But what do we know without those two things would happen? Our body would die. So my hands are often the things that do the most work for my body. Outwardly, that you see. But what do I know about the heart? Or my mind? The things that are unseen are indispensable. It's just like you and I. If every believer had the same measure of faith, think about it. Think about the roles inside the church. If we were all the same, we would be overcrowded in one thing. There'd be 35 preachers, 15 evangelists, 75 BBS directors, 52 Awana coordinators, captains. And the problem with that is that other roles inside of the body would be abandoned. We would not have givers. We would not have those that exhort the body. And what would happen to the body? It would suffer. The thing that this measure of faith does in the body is it protects the body from imbalance. It protects it from being ailed in certain areas. And that's something that we need to understand as we move forward into gifting, into everything else that this chapter holds for us, is that just how important you are in the function of the body. Paul then, he shifts the focus. After giving us this explanation that we're to lay our bodies down, we're to renew our mind, we're to understand grace, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, we're to think soberly, and we're to understand that God gives each member a measure of faith. Now, after we have this understanding, we can move into the body and then how we function within the body. Again, guys, it's bringing the first things first. It's getting these first things right first. So verse number 3, it deals with this self-perception. It helps us come out of this distorted self-perception. Because if we're not careful, again, Scripture warns us that we're prone to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We're prone to pride. It helps squash that right off the bat. Because verse number 4 starts to talk about our placement within the body. Verse number 3 deals with our perception of ourselves. Verse number 4 then starts to identify our placement within the body. Because one thing we know, and we should understand from these scriptures now, is that we cannot place ourselves rightly in the body. And we most definitely cannot place ourselves rightly in the body if we don't see ourselves rightly before God. If we're not careful, we think that we're supposed to be in certain positions, certain places of leadership or authority, certain ministries. And yeah, many of you that are walking close to the Lord starts to burden your heart for those things. Those are really good indicators that you have a vision or the Lord burdens your heart for a certain ministry. But where the problem comes is whenever we start to interject and insert ourself into positions that God has never called us to do. This is why Paul starts all of this with humility. He starts this with humility. Before he can even talk about unity, he starts this chapter with humility. That we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Because pride destroys unity. So, this transition now is from this individual faith. Paul's saying, you lay your bodies down. You transform your mind. You don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And he transitions this in verse number 4 and 5 to now there's an interdependency upon one another. This isn't an individual faith anymore. This is a corporate faith because now others depend on you. He says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So this is where this whole sermon turns now. All of these sermons that we've pieced together through these verses, this is where everything starts to take a turn, and we start to actually look at the body of Christ collectively, us coming together, the ecclesia. He says, we're all members, are one body in Christ. Everyone members, listen, one of another. It doesn't say that we're members of an organization or members of a meeting or, listen, members of a denomination. What does he say? He says we're members one of another. This requires participation. And I see it this way. It's we look at ourselves connected to Jesus vertically, right? He's at the right hand of the throne of God. He's in heaven. So we look at him. We're here on earth. He's in heaven. We're looking at Christ, that we're connected to Christ vertically, right? Now, what you need to understand is that you're also connected one to another horizontally. You're connected to the brother and sister beside you. Think about sitting in our church, and I know we're separate this morning, but think about being in our church, and it's full. Maybe even brothers and sisters you haven't seen in a long time. It's like an Easter morning service. You look to your left, you look to your right. Remember some of those members that used to sit next to you, or maybe even some of those that have gone on to be in glory. Do you realize that you're connected to them? That you're a part of them? It changes our perception a little, doesn't it? Our perspective on church a little, doesn't it? Whenever you realize you matter to them. So why does this matter to the church? This measure of faith that Paul's talking about, this was never meant to isolate you. Again, this is for corporate use. Understanding that you're a part of the body of Christ. God didn't give you, distribute measure of faith for you to stand alone, to be by yourself. And it's something that I know have been discussions in many of your guys' families with your children or friends, that many people believe that they can just worship alone in their home, that they can stay as a recluse, and that's fine. The Bible tells us that as we see the day approaching, that we're to be together more and more. This faith isn't for you to stand alone. And that's what we need to understand. This is the point that Paul is driving home in these verses. Is that this isn't something that we do on our own. It's difficult to do it on our own. We must come together because you strengthen one another. You strengthen one another. The thing we also need to realize is that that measure of faith isn't to be used to compete. We don't vie for position. We surrender to what God is calling us to within the body. This is not about competition. He gives measures of faith for a reason. And then, like I said, you need to understand whenever God distributes faith, that faith is not to function independently. It's something that we need to grasp. Because I've said it myself, oh, my faith isn't very strong. My faith is waning right now. It's not meant to function independently. When is it that your faith struggles the most? Whenever you've forsaken the house of God, the Word of God, God's people. I speak from personal experience. I need the body. I need other members because their faith strengthens me. Understand that God gave us measures of faith so that the body would be complete. Your obedience strengthens others. So what would your absence do? It weakens them. It disheartens them. And I can say this because I've watched. It hurts the body whenever you're not here. Whenever you're not walking in what God has called. You matter because your faithfulness to what God has called you to supplies what another member lacks. He's placed you in the body and has supplied you with things that other members lack. You're not only responsible to God for how you use your faith, you're also responsible to the body. So that's why when you neglect your role, understand, I'm not trying to be mean. I love you all. And I've seen this in myself. This is from a place of conviction. But whenever you neglect your role, it hurts other members of the body. Whenever you forsake your role, it hurts the body. It slows the work. How much harder is work whenever you don't have an arm? There have been incredible feats of men and women that have lost appendages, whether in war or in other circumstances of life, that they can go out and they can run Olympic races and rock climb and do all these different things. That those that are blind, for God has made us in such a way that our brain makes it up with other senses. But in reality, if they were to have that appendage or that limb or their eyesight, I wonder how much faster, how much stronger, how much more they could get done. Whenever you neglect your role, you slow the work. And the other thing that happens is you distort the witness. We have so many people, especially now, I see it everywhere. The things that are happening in our country, in this world, have people seeking. They're looking for something real. They're looking. And brothers and sisters, if we're not careful, we'll distort their perception of Christianity. In America, we are fortunate that we have yet to see persecution, at least not on as large of a scale as many of our brothers and sisters in the Middle East and other countries are facing. We don't suffer from persecution. The fortunate, or maybe even unfortunate, thing about that is that most often what the church in America suffers from is non-participation. People just aren't serving in what they've been called to do. We think someone else can do it. we look at the ministry or we look at some place in which we're called to serve within the body and we go, oh, someone else will pick up the slack. Someone else will. This is where it all transitions. Paul says, we being many are one body in Christ. So what he's doing is he's preparing us to answer this question, which is what? Where do I fit in the body of Christ that I can function faithfully? Where do I fit in the body of Christ that I can function faithfully? And this is the reason that verses 6 through 8 exist. That's the reason why Paul then is going to take us in to gifts. He's laid all of this groundwork for us. He took it from the individual life to the corporate life, the way that we're to approach God, to surrender our lives, to renew our minds, to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And the reason why is because the grace of God, and then he shows us the measure of faith that God distributes to the body. And the body is to function as a healthy body. That we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together because it leaves a void in the body whenever you and I do not participate within the body, the function of the body, and the way God has called us to. He's setting all of this up to take us then into verses 6 through 8 that talks and discusses the gifting that God gives to the believer. Proportion matters. Understand that. But before Paul can even tell us what to do, he makes sure that we understand who we are. We're not in competition with one another. Not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We're not spectators. We're not just sitting here and watching everyone else serve and everyone else be faithful to their call. And then we're not independent. That we're of a body. That we're members one of another. Romans 12:3, it taught us how to think. And our Romans 12:4 through 5, it teaches us how we're to belong to the body of Christ. And we need to understand our importance in the body of Christ before Paul can even talk to us about the distribution of gifts. We need to understand that we're important in the body of Christ. Next up, Paul will take us and transition us into this measure of faith that showed us our identity in Christ, our identity in the body of Christ. And he'll now use that same measure of faith to then show us how we're to be active in the church. If we get verses 4 and 5 correct at Rochdale Baptist Church, if we understand that I'm of you and you're of me, that I can't function like I'm supposed to without you, and you can't function like you're supposed to without me. Without me. And me without you. If we get that right, there will be unity in the body. There will be humility within the body. There will be a mutual care for one another in the body. And everything else that this chapter discusses with service and gifting, all of these other things will fall into place. They'll just be a part of the body. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for an opportunity to preach it, to teach it. Lord, help us to love one another, to see what it is that you called us into, that we're one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Help us to understand this. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.